This is The Kickoff.
With Steve Hothersall.
Rock, sport and talk.
Radio City Talk.
It's time for the World Cup Daily with Andy Kelly on Radio City Talk. And it just still doesn't fail to disappoint, does it? Morning, Andy.
Morning, Steve. Oh, the drama.
Oh, I mean, look, if you haven't been interested in it last week, it's absolutely caught fire. So 2 days ago, we had the Spain-Portugal drama, and then yesterday, Argentina. And what a hole at one point they found themselves in.
Oh, they were a team, obviously, who hadn't performed in the first two games, and they looked like they were going out, didn't they, you know, and give away a silly penalty to cancel out a superb Messi opener, and it looked like their tournament was going to be run. But one thing we should know about this World Cup, Steve, is don't stop watching until the very end. I think I saw a stat last night, 40 games, I think there's been at least 12 goals, 12 games where there's been a goal after the 87th minute. I think last night came just before that, about 5 minutes to go. But what a strike from Marcus Rojo. We're not used to seeing him do that, are we?
Well, when he scored, I turned to my wife, Jane, and I actually said, it looks nothing like him. I said, was that Aguero? Because it was that good.
Well, they'd thrown him on, hadn't they, having left him out of the starting lineup, and you thought, will this be his moment? And maybe a few of us were rehearsing the Aguero shouts in our heads. But no, I mean, what was he doing there is one question. You know, centre-half. Presumably, you know, 5 minutes to go, they're going out. He thought it was worth the risk, but brilliant cross from Mercado and an absolutely lovely strike. And to be fair, albeit he's a Manchester United fan and we don't like to be too, or a player, we don't like to be too nice to them. Obviously, he's had a terrible time with injury last season, fought his way back from that. And it is nice to see a player who's, you know, overcome those battles do well and sort of provide relief to an entire nation, Steve.
Well, there's something in me that says I don't want to see the big guns go out of this tournament. I think a World Cup is about your Argentinas of the world.
There's two elements to the World Cup, isn't there? There's the underdogs and how they perform and can they give us a shock and can we learn about new players perhaps we didn't know a huge amount about. But then there's the World Cup royalty, the likes of Argentina. They hadn't turned up at this tournament, but they've got some fantastic players. They've got possibly the greatest player of all time in their team. Do you want to see them depart the tournament? I don't think most people did. I think people like watching the likes of Messi play football. How could you not? And I think generally, for all that, there was quite a lot of sympathy for Nigeria because they had the chances to win it, didn't they, Steve? They should have. They probably should have. Obviously, there was the VAR incident with the handball from Rojo again. Just shows, you know, you could easily turn from hero to villain very easily. The small details in sport are just incredible. And
how was that not given?
Well, because it's the referee, I think, rightly has judged that as being not deliberate. But we see it every week in the Premier League. I mean, how many? I remember a few penalties where Jamie Carragher clearly sort of knocked something onto his hand in the Premier League era and penalty was given. And it's generally given because the defender's made a mistake. He obviously hasn't meant to. That's not where he's meant to head it. He's headed it against his arm. Penalty, it's handball. But as we keep hearing, as the rules get read out constantly because there's so many contentious issues, you know, it is meant to be deliberate. And you couldn't argue that Rojo meant to deliberately handle it in that situation. But lots of times we see a penalty given just for that's a mistake from the defender. It's a penalty. But for him, it was, it was a let-off. And obviously he delivered the, you know, the ultimate moment for those incredible Argentinian fans.
And Diego Maradona. Who is actually okay this morning. There was a bit of a fear for his health last night, but
his blood pressure was struggling, wasn't it, I think, which you can imagine there were quite a lot of people across Argentina and the Argentina supporting world where blood pressure was an issue.
Apparently he said his neck hurt a lot. I think that might be the veins in his neck.
Yes.
Of course, he made that rather unfortunate gesture, which was caught by the BBC cameras before the director could switch it onto a picture of something else. But I suppose it just... And we love Maradona, and we love seeing the pictures of him either celebrate the goals or look unhappy if they miss a chance. And I know it's probably not appropriate for that time of night, but I did laugh my socks off when he did it.
Well, I mean, I think the whole world was laughing, wasn't it? And you know, he's never been a saint, has he, Steve? Do you know what I mean? For all that, you know, we... you know, marvelled at him on the football pitch ever, you know, since then and even during then. He's never been a saint, and you know, you never know what you're going to get with Maradona. But it did show, you know, it was a rude gesture and everything else, but it did show just how absurd. I mean, you can imagine he's been sat there taking a load of sticks from fans down beneath, hasn't he? So, you know, he's had his say. Well, probably it wasn't great to watch, and you know, if any of the kids had stayed up for the game. Don't do that sort of thing, kids.
No, absolutely not.
Right, so Messi scores the 100th goal of the World Cup, and for me, that eclipsed Quaresma's goal. Quaresma's was brilliant, but Messi's, I mean, the genius behind this, the way the ball sticks to him, it was described as magnetic by Qualey before. It's right, it sort of stuck to his left side. It's a goal we've seen him do quite a few times in La Liga, but it never fails to impress when you watch him do it.
Oh, it was just brilliant. I mean, superb ball from Benega, I think was an important part of him being on the pitch last night. Brilliant first touch, then one touch to keep it away. The thing you have to say, the defender who was trying to get back is a quick defender as well, so he had to do it perfect or he doesn't get the chance to get the shot away. And three perfect touches, was it? One to control, one slightly takes it out of his feet and away from the defender. And then on his right foot, where for all he's, you know, notoriously left-footed, you know, he has a good record with his right foot and, you know, cuts it across the keeper. Wonderful moment. Great to have the best performers in the world performing at the World Cup. And that, I think that's what's been this World Cup's been about, hasn't it? You know, we have seen the big players come to the party, your Ronaldo's, your Toni Kroos's. They've all delivered generally when they've had to. You know, your Harry Kane's even, we shouldn't leave out, just because he's English, we shouldn't leave out Harry Kane. So, yeah, just it's got to be the best group stages of a World Cup ever, Steve. You know, in terms of, I'm not just saying that, I said, you know, there is a recency bias and all these things. We're loving this at the moment. We're having great weather. The games are on at a brilliant time for us in the UK. So you have to put all that into the perspective and the context. But you and I have watched plenty of these now. And certainly, you know, the first one I can remember is 78. But not brilliantly, but certainly 82, which obviously was a big year for Northern Ireland. And, you know, this is the best group stages I've seen since then. You just have the worry, does that mean we're going to get a disappointing knockout stage?
No.
Let's not be miserable.
Don't put a cloud on it. More drama than we've ever had. Also, Iceland beaten by Croatia yesterday. Goal for Gylfi Sigurdsson from the penalty spot, but Iceland are out. And in the other group, France are booed off. Didier Deschamps forced afterwards to list all the football nations who found the tournament difficult so far. You know when you're in trouble when your manager starts doing that.
Hey, listen, we called this yesterday morning, Steve, didn't we? You said, you know, a point will take them both through. You can see them playing out a boring draw. And my word, was it boring? I have to say, I didn't watch very much of this as a flick between the two games. It was very much on the other one. Because, no, it was, he even put out quite a strong side, Deschamps. But, you know, what we should say is, we now get this tremendous last 16 game between France and Argentina. Now, what a, you know, that is mouthwatering, and potentially two teams who we've not seen, you know, we really haven't seen the best of. You know, France have qualified, you know, easily, but you know, I've never really got out of their stride. The football's been poor. They've had some lucky deflections, some lucky decisions, and Argentina. Will that last night's events give them momentum? I was looking at the record between the two sides. Argentina do pretty well against France. I think France will not be relishing facing Argentina, for all that this is not, you know, the best Argentina side we've ever seen. But that is something, you know, mark that for Saturday. You do not want to be missing that game.
Australia 0, Peru 2. Australia on their way home. Who is your player of the day at the World Cup for Monday, Andy?
It's a tough one, this, Steve. I think we have to give it to an Argentina player, don't we? So I don't know if I can let you choose. I think it's got to be between Rojo for his moment of genius or Messi for his moment of genius. But I can't decide between the two. I'm going to leave that one for you.
I love Messi, but I think without what Rojo did at the end of that game, Argentina are virtually out, aren't they, at one point?
You see the way I've let you choose a Manchester United player?
I think, yeah, you would have done it, wouldn't you? I think you've got to give it to him, haven't you? Unbelievable strike. A strike worthy of an attacker. I think the problem with Argentina, without going into too much depth, I don't think they've got too much tactics about their game. It's literally, let's all go forward.
Yeah, he's not done a great job of turning them into a coherent unit, Sam Farley, has he? And, you know, it doesn't look a lot of coherence to him as he sprinted onto the pitch and did laps after the goal. But, you know, so why not? He obviously had the weight of a nation on his shoulders, and it's for now it's lifted.
Right, 30 seconds. Today, South Korea, Germany, Mexico, Sweden, Serbia, Brazil and Switzerland, Costa Rica. What's the headline for today?
Well, I think it's the day when Germany sort of take the mantle that's been given to them by Toni Kroos with that late goal against Sweden and run with it. And I expect Germany to put a few goals past South Korea and get through. Mexico, they're the only side who won their first two games who are not absolutely guaranteed qualification. We love Mexico, Steve. We've spoken about them a few times. Mm. I expect them to be able to get the draw against Sweden. That will see them through. And then tonight, Brazil just need a draw against Serbia. Can't see them not getting that. And, you know, I expect them to probably beat Serbia. And Switzerland should probably take care of Costa Rica. For all the sort of upsets and struggles some of the big names have had, they were all going through, Steve. And that's still, you know, sometimes you want one of these so-called lesser nations to break through. But as you said earlier, you know, all the big teams are going through, and we're going to have some knockout stages if this keeps going.
Andy, thank you very much. Catch up tomorrow.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Rock, sport, and talk.
Radio City Talk.